Next item is the, we'll take up the big chunk of the afternoon, agenda item six, the 2021 board work plans discussion.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Chad Davis, Director of the Partnership and Planning Program here at the department. While the team is getting settled, Peter and I were comparing notes yesterday about sci-fi fantasy novels that we read over the holiday break. I only bring that up because I'm not going to go over what he read and what I read because I don't remember all the details of all that conversation. I bring it up in the context of, as a child, I really liked Choose Your Own Adventures. This is the Choose Your Own Adventure part of the agenda today, where we talk about work plans and the work that the board gets to have some input and design on, what are the priority topics over the next 2 years that you want to work in partnership with us as department staff on. Today is the start of, well, it's kind of the middle portion of the conversation around work plans. To be clear, we will be seeking approval of these work plans at the March meeting. This is really, we initiated some conversation around some of the items here, and we'll probably continue that conversation today. We initiated that in October, and today's presentation and materials are a reflection of that shorter conversation we had in October. Of course, that was a non-decision format. We're looking for more that kind of input from you today that we will then bring back as a team in March and seek final approval of the two work plans. That's what we really need today. Just to be upfront about what we need from you is feedback and input to go from draft, so the products that you have now, until final, what we have in March. Really some focus on the potential topics. We redesigned the template a little bit this year, kind of responding to the board's interest in having input and design on what these work plans look like. We hope you see that in the materials, and I'm going to talk about that a little second. We really would like some discussion and understanding of where your priorities are so that we, to be clear, the work plans that are in the packets today are not doable from start to finish. There's more there than we probably have capacity to do. We are looking for some direction around winnowing those down. Where consensus exists today, great. But we don't likely realize that we don't have time probably to get there on all the items today, and we'll try to incorporate feedback and work between now and March to get there so that we do have final approvals. Peter wants to jump in.
Again, this is important. I wouldn't worry, what we would need to be able to bring you back. What we can do is really a priorities of what's included that we should develop the work plans around. And at some point, as we start mapping out in more detail what it's going to take to do something like that, because they're still at a very high level, then I think we'll, in March, you'll see more of what we think we can do given our current resources.
Right.
Then that's when you can say, well, we would like some more resources focused on this. And that would bring back tying it to the budget discussion. But so it is important to know exactly how much we can get done as long as we have a clear priority so that we know what order you want us to tackle these in. Yeah.
So that reflects on my question earlier, Peter. So yeah, I understand that it can lead us to additional budget requests or POPs, but it also might lead us to identifying areas for collaboration with other agencies to achieve a common goal. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was presuming we're not currently doing that. I think you're,
sort of new opportunities
to collaborate. Mm-hmm. I guess we could look for that. The challenge we sometimes find is working cross agency is less efficient than if we were just, you know how that, collaboration takes time to be successful. And we do it because we think it's the best way to do business on most of the topics in natural resources. But the the sense that it would, I would just put a caveat there. I don't think it helps us in terms of workload. There isn't an efficiency gain by being more integrated.
You know, I think, you know, I agree with what you're all saying about collaboration. You can just be down a rat hole. On the other hand, as I think about looking at climate change and our work there, I mean, there is so much happening, you know, these various sustainability commission, global warming commission, work that's already been done that some of it looks like is pretty extensive by other agencies like ODFW. I'm less interested in collaboration and more in stealing the work of others, as a general approach to make sure that we're out there, not trying to reinvent a wheel that's already, at least partially formed by other agencies and so on. So that would be the approach I would be in encouraging. I mean, I think there's a huge amount out there, but yeah, that's different from collaboration.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. And I do appreciate the idea that there could be a nexus there, and we would be really open if we're missing something where we think there's a nexus there to utilize or work to cross agency that could accomplish the same goal. So
I just want to make it clear, I'm open to the Jim Kelly definition of collaboration.
Okay.
It's fine. I think that there are other agencies outside of state agencies too where
absolutely
that kind of,
yeah,
stealing can occur.
Yeah, as a mentor of mine once told me, plagiarism is the best form of flattery. So just to kind of reset this a little bit before we dive in, and we usually start with division specific work in these work plans, and we decided to switch that around, and we're gonna give you a chance to talk about climate change and what the board wants to do around that. That's where we're gonna start kind of getting into the meat and potatoes of these work plans, and then what's left of our time we will talk about, although I'm gonna make sure that we reserve some time to talk about the division specific work plans as well. So just to outline what is there, so in the templates that are in the current work plans, whether we keep this template, they'll probably look different in March because this is about having this conversation. We teed up two major sections. One is work in progress, so things that the board's kind of already engaged in is what that largely is made up of, and I hope you realize those are things that you already know of. Most of them are already in existence. There may be a few that are kind of like have been on the back burner that we haven't initiated yet, but most of them are things that are already in existence. So like the forest management plan, for example, is one of those kinds of things. And then the rest of the work plans really kind of tee up potential topics. And this list was generated from listening to you over the last 12 to 18 months, going back, reviewing our own internal notes, and then really kind of honing in on kind of what you all put on the table at the October retreat. And those are the things I think that we probably should focus on most time today to feel like. And then each division chief can talk about Peter talked about capacity is an important piece. How much, given their current workload and how much can they add to that plate with existing resources, and then how might we get additional capacity if that's what the board desires and that's what we need to move that forward. So one other point before we dive into details, so we do have a few board members that are kind of this is the first time through this process with us. And this time I said on some calls last week, it is a little different, but it is still the point of this work plan process is really to outline what the board's going to work on for the next 2 years. So that really starts in April of 2020 and goes through March of 2022, which is another 12-month or 24-month cycle to keep in charge of, which is not a fiscal year, a calendar year, a federal fiscal year, or something else. It's a board work plan year. And
I don't know if somebody purposely arranged us this week. A lot of those dates lean on this side of the table a bit more than this side of the table.
Correct. Oh, interesting. we also talked in October, the board talked a lot about kind of agenda development. And just to be clear, this is what we use as the basis to form those out months kind of board agendas, which then, and Peter's probably going to talk about this, want to be responsive and flexible in terms of how do we fit things in that pop up that are outside of kind of this particular process that we decide on in March. So again, it's the outline of the business for the next 2 years. It helps us as a team stay on task and stay on schedule with the policy decisions that are coming before the board. And it does really form the basis of the agendas that we develop to put business before you. So are there any other process questions before we kind of dive in on, we're going to start technically with the overarching issues work plan because that's where the climate topic currently resides. And rather than talking about all the division work plans and everybody wanting to talk about climate, we thought we would start with talking about climate and see where that goes. Any process questions before we dive in? And I did ask my good friend Kylo Abraham. He'll get the reference. Kylo here beside me as my balance in the force to sit beside me because a lot of the potential topics, particularly as they relate to climate and as you all were discussing already this morning, are both kind of listed in the climate section of the overarching issues work plan and also kind of cross-listed in the private forest work plan. So as we go through this, just we want to talk about climate. And I made Kyle sit right here beside me so that the both of us can kind of take the most of this conversation.
Sorry to interrupt, yep. But for the people on this side of the room, new things are going to come up over the next 2 years that are going to kind of be embedded into this work plan, I expect, right? I mean, right. Yeah, okay, I just wanted to make clear that we weren't stuck on this only, but we also.
That's the nimble part.
That's the nimble. So, I think it's created some challenges that I did not see coming with new board members coming in and feeling like I can't get in because it's full. It does create a pretty full agenda for the next 2 years, but built into the, next retreat is a time for looking and readjusting. I will be talking to you this afternoon about some other look aheads on a more nimble so that every year I don't think you'll find sufficient to be able to have that nimble. So I'll suggest an approach for a more frequent review and look ahead of the agenda. And so we can then also perhaps see where there's holes where we have an opportunity to provide something new in as well or reprioritization. So traditionally, yeah, it's been once a year review, but we'll talk more about being more adaptable.
Thanks for that clarification. Sorry.
Okay, so I'm scrambling to find my paperwork, and so to start just open the topic on kind of climate, forest carbon, and what the board wants to do. I think we can reference the overarching issues work plan, which is pretty. So it's pretty open-ended, just to be frank about it. Although there are things that I tried to put in there again that we think we have heard, at least one board member put on the table. And some of those, again, like I said earlier, are cross-referenced over there. There has been work that we have brought before the board around kind of the forest ecosystem carbon report piece. And we are planning to bring the sister to that report, the Harvested Wood Products report, back before this board as well. That's on a trajectory of kind of June-ish timeframe, which is a companion to that part in the ecosystem piece. However, you look on the bottom line, which is pretty small, and that I is referencing that Harvested Wood Products report. The rest of those boxes are pretty blank. So, Peter, I don't know if you want to weigh in here or we want to just kind of open up with kind of more of a general question about what the board's priorities are for climate.
Well, thank you, Chad. I think it's really a good idea to start with sort of the overarching things across the board. Certainly one of those. The other one, I think, is, of course, so those are two things we'd like to have some real input on and get some direction on. And we do have a, a body of work, but it's been scattered throughout the divisions and in the division work plans. I think that's made it somewhat hard for people to see that we have a, we've been doing a lot of work on climate change. So that's just a thought, because I think if you look at the agenda item 6, attachment 5, you know, page 3 of 5, we've talked about, you know, the forest carbon report, forest ecosystem carbon report, harvested wood products carbon report that we presented in draft. We presented what every division is doing to incorporate climate change in their normal business. And so those are three reports that we've presented this last year to the board. And so there's ongoing work. And then separately to that, State Forest included climate change as a principle and as a goal in their State Forest Management Plan. Climate change shows up in the forestry program for Oregon, more around carbon storage and forest. So it is scattered around. So I think thinking about it holistically would actually be really useful. And then on page four, there is a list of things that we've gleaned from discussions of different things that could be included under a climate change work plan or climate change topic.
Yeah, I'll start. I have a couple of comments with those. The first bullet, impact of climate change and forest water quality, including riparian buffer widths. I think we need to expand that a little bit, related to riparian buffer function, not only widths. I think widths is a part of it. I mean, that's a piece of it. But I think there's a lot more to riparian function than simply buffer widths. The other aspect that I didn't see really here was in talking about forest carbon is the contribution of wood products to the system. So in respect to state forests and other policy choices that we use, make sure there's some sort of reference to the contribution of wood products to carbon.
Yeah, it seems to me that there are kind of several different ways of approaching the climate issue within all the things that ODF does. One is a policy analysis, and that is to look at all of the policies in place that ODF is responsible for and ask in each one, how might changes in climate over the next X number of years influence our ability to achieve the goals implicit in these policies? And then ask the question, should the policy be changed in some way to reflect our ability to achieve those goals in the future, right? Another is getting back to Peter's kind of holistic view here, is asking whether there are new policies that we need to be thinking about that deal with the effects of climate on adaptation and mitigation. Is species migration likely to occur? And if so, then how do we deal with that? Is that something that humans should be assisting or not? There are all sorts of other sorts of things like that that I think we need to take into consideration. And then the last is the whole carbon. So those are the climate change effects. The other is the carbon storage. And I listened in on the governor's workshop held in Portland. Was it the end of January? Is that, or end of December? I think it was the end of December. And it's pretty clear. You were there, Jim? It's pretty clear that the governor and the current administration is really keen on having Oregon contribute to sequestering carbon and moving the state to being more carbon neutral, if not carbon neutral. And I agree that some wood products can contribute to that. Some are going to be less able to contribute to that. I think that needs to be part of the picture. But also, you know, what should we be doing where we can find a win-win scenario, where we can find, and there have been several papers published about this recently, providing habitat for species X, Y, and Z while also sequestering carbon at the same time. And so those sorts of, or using silvicultural practices, which provide wood products, but also are sequestering carbon in certain ways, whether it be in the soil or down wood or, you know, standing trees. So I think there are those three buckets that I see, the policy analysis, kind of the new policies, and then the carbon sequestration as a mitigation technique for climate change.
Yeah, if I could just sort of piggyback on one and reference your desire to have Kyle right next to you because of the relationship. Certainly, I think there are a lot of private forest, you know, Forest Practices Act policies that need to be part of that review, but I think it extends beyond private forests. I think at an agency level across all of our business, we need to be looking at our existing policies and exploring whether or not there's areas across all fronts where there's a need for new policies. And while I'm sure a ton of the workload will lie on private forests, I don't think it's entirely restricted there.
And if I could just piggyback on that, I think private forests clearly are a huge piece of the puzzle. But the fire division, clearly those issues that need to be addressed there. And from a policy standpoint, state forests, what are we going to be doing in state forests to not only achieve the habitat goals under perhaps an HCP, perhaps an FMP, but also sequestering carbon at the same time. So I think it spans the entire department.
And beyond that, if I can just add one, beyond that, I think it also has some infrastructure concerns. So I think admin needs to be looking at that. You know, it wasn't too long ago that your building went through some major renovations, and we've got a number of facilities that are in areas that are potentially needing some examination to see if we need to climate proof them a little better. As we get changes in rainfall patterns and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I really think it is an agency-wide thing. It's not just a land management thing, but much broader.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the Wildfire Council work and report was certainly understands the importance of climate change. And while, you know, similar to our previous discussion, it wasn't necessarily integrated immediately into everything that is there. The context very much was part of the conversation and the framing of the recommendations. And one of those recommendations moving forward as a way to improve QRA is to begin to model in the effects of climate change. So so to some extent, I mean, I agree that this needs to go department wide, but there's a really strong body of work with regard to the fire department. Yeah.
Other comments? So what I've heard is there's sort of three buckets: policy analysis of existing policy, new policy, what kind of new policy around mitigation and adaptation. And then carbon storage is one, but what I haven't heard about is what are the board's goals and objectives for climate change. And so that, and I have that listed here, the revision, climate goals and things, because lots of times I hear we want to store carbon, and is that really the goal? And so I would just ask,
I would like to talk to, you know, about that issue specifically in terms of carbon sequestration, because I think we really need to, you know, take a very sophisticated look at different forests and with the search for the nexus of where, you know, good timber management and carbon, where the opportunities are at the same time with carbon sequestration. I think, we I think the public and many people out there look at this issue and think of forest carbon sequestration as like we don't cut any trees again and we take it out of timber production. And I've certainly seen the examples where that's not true, that we're actually taking certain forests that where there's opportunity to have more standing timber and actually better timber coming out of that and better production. I'm very, you know, really interested in, and I know we have a whole big variety of forests throughout the state, but for us to really focus on finding the best opportunities, that, it still, keep, as many of these, forests that are currently in timber production, but at the same time, finding the best, opportunities for sequestration.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to get at is our goal sequestration or is our goal climate mitigation? Is our goal actually having a positive effect on climate change? Is that the,
neutrality?
Well, I think I would go back to the governor's meeting in Portland. There's a statewide set of goals that she's trying to achieve. What can the forestry sector do to contribute to those statewide goals?
Right. And what, and I think that's good. But I want to try to have a board think about
it. It can't be an either or entirely, which is what I'm trying to get at. You know, I don't think any of us are interested in destroying the timber industry in Oregon, simply in favor of carbon sequestration alone.
Yeah, and I guess the goal I thought wasn't carbon sequestration, but was carbon neutrality of our economy from the governor's office, that we do become, we reduce our carbon dioxide additional load by certain levels in 2015. And I think if you want to have that as a goal, I think you can, if what your goal is carbon sequestration, you can go down a path where you're having unintended consequences. If the goal is actually climate mitigation, then you have to take a broader view. I think it gets at what Jim's saying. It's not simply store all trees, all no harvest whatsoever. If there is carbon storage in wood products, and wood products are the most efficient material in terms of CO2 compared to the alternative, which is concrete and steel. And so the question is how does this fit with the work we saw up in with mass timber? And so I think that having a conversation first about what our goals and getting alignment on that and doing some work with the forestry program for Oregon, I think is going to be important to talk through those issues. I hope I'm clear.
Well, maybe. It depends upon what kind of goals you're looking for. Are you looking for overarching goals that mesh with the governor's agenda? Or are we looking for more specific goals that relate to certain economic sectors within the state? Because I think those are not necessarily, those should be, those are both reasonable goals, but the way you approach them is very different. So for instance, we want to be sure that the timber economy in the state of Oregon is sustained on into the future, even in the face of climate change. That means we need to understand what tree species are going to be constrained in their productivity in certain parts of the state over time. There's a specific goal. How do we go about doing that? Or do we say we want to be sure that carbon is sequestered in wood products, and therefore identify those wood products where carbon sequestration is going to be the greatest? That's another goal. The two are related because you have to have trees to cut to create those timber products. But they both too might be somewhat irrelevant in the face of the contribution of CO2 from our transportation sector. Right? So, and everything that I just spoke about is also driven by the transportation sector. So you know, I guess the question I have for you, and I guess for the staff, is what level of goals are you looking for that would be helpful for you? Is it very specific things that deal with a specific agenda, or is it a broader set of goals that allow us to develop strategies to help you get there?
So what I'm hoping for is a set of goals that clarifies what we do want to work on. And I think your examples were perfect. Depending on the goal you pick that you're trying to achieve, then yes, you would have different strategies and different answers. And so when staff's trying to work on this topic in the absence of knowing what we're trying to achieve, it gets very difficult to do the work. And so far in our discussions around climate change, it has not been, we do have some specific goals and we are meeting those, and those are currently in the forestry program for Oregon. What I think, and I think the, setting the policy goals at that level and then working down, cause there's really sort of more, it's, they have an overall goal. We could look at that, and then coming up with objectives and more specific goals under that would help focus that work. I just think that that's a piece that the board doesn't have full alignment on.
And so, Peter, to bring that back, I'm thinking what you're teeing up there and Brenda, maybe this helps with that, because I think maybe the answer is both, both levels of goals, is really looking at goal G of the forestry program for Oregon and maybe starting there, which is an overarching high level goal, but then can unpack into whether we call them objective strategies or whatever we want to call them. But the specificity gets, we drill down a little bit. And that might be a place, in addition to the other things that you've already mentioned, something that the board chooses to take on. It's kind of really looking at that particular goal of the FPFO and starting, maybe that's where we start an FPFO refresh with, specifically around the climate goals, encapsulated in there.
I see the benchmark of a carbon neutral Oregon, wonderful as a benchmark, but I do, also looking at the forestry program for Oregon, as you look at the value number one, it is a global context. And so I think we can't exclude the global situation in our deliberations and our goals.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for providing this input and discussion. And this is what will really, I think, help us begin to move forward and be able to set up a plan. So what did the other board members feel about re-looking at goal G and seeing if it, it's 2011, it's 9 years old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the right way to go.
And so then what I've heard and want to confirm is, so some work, perhaps starting the revision with the forestry program for Oregon around goal G. I had also heard before you wanted to look at some values, but not micromanage that. But in terms of the climate, what I've heard is three big buckets. Policy analysis of existing policy with the frame of how would climate change affect the achievement of the policy goal. I heard a bucket on new policies that may or may not be needed to address climate mitigation and adaptation. Did I get?
And maybe to add to that after this discussion is the contribution to the statewide goals.
Great. And then the third one was looking at the role of, and I will restate it, we talked about carbon storage and carbon sequestration. And I would say, I would try to make that a broader bucket, look at the role of forestry and forest management in climate mitigation and adaptation.
Yeah, and I like that broadening, particularly given the specific examples that Brenda gave. One of the things I think feels to me like an area of responsibility for this board is to do what we can to ensure that we've got state policies that best equip the state to maintain functional forest ecosystems into a climate changed future. And so I think it's yes, carbon sequestration is important, but I think it's, we've got to broaden up quite a bit to deal with how do we maintain functional forest ecosystems into a climate changed future.
And that would be in the adapt.
Yep. That's why I was happy to hear you add the word.
Okay. So do we have, so how are you guys feeling about writing up a work plan on this?
Yeah, no, I feel like there's definitely enough there to bring back something, in March. And we can unpack that. So what I want to make sure before we move on is, well, there is this kind of cross reference to the FBFO piece, but, I want to make sure that we've got a few things captured. So around the, there's three aspects of what Brenda put on the table around policy review. And that was offered, I think, more holistically across the agency. And also, with no pejorative statement around general terms, where some of the things in the work plan and overarching issues and also in Kyle's, you know, some of the bullets are they're more specific. So just want to make sure that the recalculation or the rearticulation of that policy review and those three aspects that were put on the table are encompassing of, and that we don't need to necessarily talk about the specific things that we had previously kind of put on the table. So that's, as long as we bring portion and realize that some of those things haven't gone away. So if we propose back a work plan to do the policy analysis review, existing policies, current policies, and, with some eye to that, in terms of taking bites of the apple around that piece, there might be more interest in certain aspects of some of the department's work that are in particular divisions and others as a starting place. So that's where it's kind of more of a stepwise is what I'm teeing up is kind of looking around the table thinking about as we propose that back, we're not going to do all that in 1 year, a stepwise approach, and we will work internally to figure out how a stepwise approach to that policy analysis makes sense.
And one of the things I think would be important is to go back and relook because we've done, we've done work in fire around what are our expectations and we're forced to be adaptable since we're suffering from the impacts right now. But I think documenting what work's been done and what work hasn't been done and then what, some of the potentials are and I don't know if there are certain things you want to try to identify now as higher priority among the policies.
So
when we do the policy analysis, where do we want to, are there some that are higher priorities than others?
Slight, angled reaction to that question. But that is obviously when we were earlier talking about the Siskiyou rule, we kind of were grappling with how do we proceed with rulemaking in light of climate change and how do we incorporate what we know about climate change in any rulemaking decision or decision making that we have before us. And so frankly, just at a real fundamental level, it seems to me it might be worthwhile to talk about process and protocol of how do we accomplish that. While we've got this longer term, broader range thing going on, we are still going to have decisions coming before the board in the interim. And it might be worthwhile to have some discussion and thought about in the interim, how are we going to address the issue? Because we don't want to totally ignore it, but we also don't want to delay until the final three bucket all step process has been completed to do anything.
Which is sort of what we did this morning.
Which is sort of what we did today, but I'm thinking, we did it ad hoc today, and it might be worthwhile to give some thought to, was the ad hoc solution we came up with the best one, or is there some better way to accommodate it in the interim?
And so, Cindy, I hear you talking about a process step, and I'm wondering if the board feels like, well, I'm happy to put that on a work plan and say, let's talk about how the board wants to think about, I guess I'm putting back out here and saying, does it need to be considered in the context of the thing that's before the board, or do you think there's a way, in other words, like, how do you use science? How do you use, how is the board going to do it? Can we define it? Can we talk about it as a process and then apply it to the individual pieces? Or do you feel like the issues and the topics are so specific that how the board might use climate to inform its decision in the interim is specific to that issue? So is that, am I making any sense?
You are, and I think the answer is yes to both. You know, I think there are going to be some very specific things that are unique to any given decision before us, but I think it would also be helpful for us when we're seeing staff reports to know, you know, here is how we're going to consistently be reflecting what we think we know about climate relative to this decision, and that staff will know what it is that we're expecting that they'll be including in their staff reports, just as a matter of course. And then, you know, there may be some unique things that are, you know, specific to the decision before us that don't apply broadly. But it feels to me like in the 8 years since we first, you know, that raising climate was one of the first things I did when I came on the board. And we've been kind of grappling in this gray area of how, when, and what gets incorporated in any of our decision-making steps, and some clarity might be useful.
Okay.
You know, one of the things I think very specifically that we'll need to deal with is as illustrated by the Forest Practices Act, where we're unsure of where we stand legally. I think we, you know, it's inherent on staff to really identify issues like that and any others that where we need direction, help, legislative changes that enable us to deal more effectively with climate change.
So I think that's a real good insight. And, you know, I think we talked about a DOJ review for Forest Practice Act and how does it fit to efficiency. Going back to what level of goals we have, that's further down than the goal of just this fundamental goal. What is the board's current authority around climate change? It, you know, DEQ, the governor is going to move forward with an executive order if we don't, or at least she has said she's willing to move forward with an executive order if she can't get a climate bill passed through the short session. And there's some agencies with clear authority around air and water quality, you know, with DEQ, it's the air quality regulation, which gives them clear authority to regulate CO2 under their current statute. I don't know where forestry lies in that realm. So I think thinking about going, you know, going back to the what is our authority? I don't want to say we don't have it, because often we had fairly broad authority to go change the way we're interacting with federal forests, which I don't think, depending on how we ask the question, we would have ever undertaken it. And so I think that could be something to add in at the next level down in the policy analysis of it. Perhaps a first step. Does that make sense?
I think it's one of the first steps. Yeah, I think we need to understand where we stand legally, and if there are changes that need to be made, then what needs to be done by legislature to give whatever organization the authority to
yeah, obviously, when you, there are several steps to what you just described, and I think getting this sense of where we stand is really important, and I think then it becomes more complicated. I mean, not in necessarily bad ways, but that's where this, in some cases, collaboration with other agencies, you're going to, if the legislation passes and you do have a climate authority, that's one place where that conversation should be able to occur. And if that doesn't happen, then there will be other ways of trying to have that collaboration as well. Because if, I mean, at least if I were in the governor's office, I'd want to make sure that some of these things are being looked at in a really coordinated way rather than a little rifle shot by rifle shot.
But we need that clarity before any policy analysis can be conducted. Otherwise, the policy analysis is potentially moot.
So I don't want to necessarily belabor this, but we've been saying throwing the word policy out pretty loosely, and that's okay. But I, in terms of the suggestion and the you know the interests on the board, I think we're talking about administrative rules, OARSs. I think we're talking about probably statutes, but there are all kinds of other layers of policy that the department has associated underneath that. And so just trying to, I think what I look down the table here and say what I think we could do and think about in terms of bringing back this work plan is the administrative rule and the statutes pieces, and not necessarily the guidance and the procedures and all those other layers of things that are underneath that. That would really be a really long process, but just testing that that's what you're thinking about is the rules that this board makes and or the rules that the department behaves by per legislative direction.
At least for the next biennium.
Okay.
I think you're perfectly right. I think those would be things that would potentially, there are things that authorize the board to do work and there are things that constrain the board's work. And so I think statutes and administrative rules would be the logical place to begin to explore what opportunities there are and what limits there are in a very broad sense. And then I think once we have that, we could have a sense of, I think they would want to be, I don't know if the board wants to be iterative. Once you know where it is, then you might reprioritize what you're focused on. So I think we got a good starting point for the first one. I think on sort of adaptation and mitigation, I think one of the first steps would be just compiling the work that's ongoing now cross-agency around climate change mitigation and adaptation, because there's considerable work going on. And
specifically, as you said, not just the work going on, but how the existing administrative rules and statutes either facilitate or constrain that work.
And I would add the work going on within ODF and using Jim's definition, the work going on in other agencies too that we can use.
Thanks for that, because I think that when we look at climate adaptation and mitigation, it is a cross agency. It's actually DLCD's does an adaptation framework.
So to summarize, and I'll test this too, we move on from the kind of climate part of this agenda and pick it up from there. I think we talked earlier as a team as well that what might be helpful, and Peter, I think, referenced this earlier, but I want to put it a little bit more clear in the room, is that we take all of this, which we've captured and have obviously recordings for, and reformat an issue-specific work plan, and call it a climate change or forest carbon work plan, where all of this lives. Some of that work would probably be carried out by the private forest division or by the protection division or by state forest division and maybe even in administrative services or my team. But when you see a work plan in March, when you see the set of work plans in March, the idea of a kind of climate change focused, which is different than our other work plans, which are more division by division, but more of a theme or an issue-based approach so that the board can feel and see, you know, soup to nuts, what you're tackling over the next 2 years on this topic, including the informational items and all that we've just talked about.
So this would be a change. So we want to get a sense of the board's thought. We could have it live under the emerging and overarching issues work plan as an agenda topic. But so I just want to hear what you think about actually changing that and making it its own work plan. Is that so? Nodding heads. Is everybody saying
moving it out of the overarching issues? I mean, I appreciate that. kind of odd to call it an emerging issue. It is an overarching issue.
That's what I was reacting to, is the emerging. It's emerged.
Well, and so that's the thing, and I think that's what I was, to be honest, that's what I was reacting to, and Sabrina, who's very good at remembering processes, those are separate, emerging and overarching. Right. But I think that there's also something important about the visibility. When you look at the board website, if it's under that, you won't see it.
Right.
Unless you click. And so having it as a separate work plan will also
elevate it
in at least a little bit, I think. And I'm, my sense of
I'm gonna step back a little bit, Chad, and look at the whole package you've got there, which is ecosystem evaluation, forest program for Oregon, and this climate change.
Correct.
So I think, right? And you've heard me say this before, so this is a repeat for you, but I still think it's an overarching issue, which is looking at sort of what are the social, economic, and land use factors that affect whether we keep forests as forests, whether forests stay as functional ecosystems, and whether they provide greatest permanent value as we understand that, to the state and all of its citizens. And so you have in the past, and I think it's important that we keep tracking it so we understand how population growth and land use change affects the overall landscape of the forests in Oregon. And we understand that pressure that affects also the realization of the goals and values that this board oversees. And so somewhere in this biennium, I'd like to see you continue to sort of give us, and that to me is an overarching issue. So to me, there are a couple overarching issues that just fit in an overarching issue thing. But if for public communication purposes, you think it's better to be standalone, that's up to you.
That's kind of my reaction as well. Wherever you think it's easiest for you to house it and communicate it, as long as what we're understanding is that we're using this either as a separate issue or as a topic under the overarching issues as a vehicle to avoid siloing our agency-wide examination of the issue, and that at various times throughout the year on agenda, we may have people from every single division coming to talk to us about this topic.
And we did last year.
Yeah.
And so the where it gets housed is less important to me than that it gets done in that coordinated fashion.
Yes.
My view would be it's becoming increasingly clear to just about everybody in the last couple of years that this is the existential threat to mankind. And if we, as this department does not have the issue front and center on our website or anywhere else, I think we're really shooting ourselves in the foot and not doing our job.
Okay. And I do want to speak to Nils. So there is obviously work in all of the work plans that the divisions have. And maybe it's more obvious in my colleagues' work plans. There are informational items that come before the board, and you're referring to some that are done, through my team. And usually those come forward in the September timeframe around kind of when we're taking assessment of issues. But I take your note that they're not captured here and that they're still important, as they relate to context and decisions that the board, that are teed up for board decisions.
So you're talking about the land use.
Yep.
Farms, forests, and people.
Yep. Okay, so I need to reserve time to talk about actual division work, but I do want to make sure, so I think we touched on FPFO there, and I want to close out this, as it's previously known, our overarching issues work plan, but there were two other items, and Nils did correctly identify them as the forestry program for Oregon and continuing work on the ecosystem services evaluation work. So with the assuming that there is interest, and I think what I wanted to kind of get mostly out of today around the forestry program for Oregon is any thoughts around yes or no around refresh. The board hasn't technically said we want to refresh it or we don't, or those kinds of things. We've talked all around it. So just kind of again, look around the room, head nod. Yeah, you want to do some work on that, which we've already said around on the climate change piece. And I think we need to figure out a way, again, a stepwise process that aligns with the transitions that we're going to see over the next year on this board, particularly on the right-hand side of this table. But what I think I'm hearing today, and I'll just test this a little bit too, is some focus initially on goal G or the climate work kind of through. So kind of maybe we're kind of aligning work on climate goals, a refresh of the forestry program for Oregon. And in that context as well, kind of tapping back into, looking at the values, portion of the existing FPFO. And that might be the two things that we could think about focusing on in the short run. And then maybe a handoff, to a next board chair.
So, yeah, I'll say a few things that I said in the pre-board meeting, so apologies, Joe, and to the others who heard this before. But as this topic came up, I went back and reread the 2011 version. And then just looking at the questions that you put to us, Chad, and I found that there was a whole lot of wisdom and a lot of value there. There's just a lot of good there. So I certainly, just speaking for me, did not see a process necessary of throwing it out and starting over again. Another thing that I really noticed, I mean, I did notice that the thing is long and wordy and talks about a lot of things that aren't very quantifiable. I would like to see something really edited back that somebody wasn't, trying to get a term paper and had to have words by the thousands. That's something I'm interested in. But also the indicators, and it was fascinating to read the history of what had happened there and how the board had changed the mind. But I really felt that as I looked at the indicators, that those could be super useful to this board, especially as we bring in four new board members next year, not in their present format. I think there's too many indicators that are not very easily quantifiable. And if you look at the work that was tried to, where they tried to actually report on many of those indicators, it was over and over. We don't have enough information, don't really know. And then there are certain ones that were clearly quantifiable. And what was interesting for me is that there were trends identified in 2011, and I'm kind of going, I'm not sure what the trend is today. I probably have heard it somewhere, but I haven't had regular reporting on that particular, indicator and trend. And as I said, this was a classic example, excuse the pun, of not being able to see the forest for the trees. that's I think pretty much the comments I had on where I think we should be going with it. But I do see a lot of value there.
Just one thing real quick. You referenced the fact that we had that discussion in October at the board retreat. And, I think we raised some things there beyond goal G and values, in those discussions that might be worth helping to frame the scope then of what we want to do moving forward. But in terms of the way you framed it, given the transition on the board, I mean, I'm totally happy that we take a smaller bite now and tee up, but as part of the handoff notes or the plan, I think we want to keep some of that because we had a really good discussion in October.
And we can go back and look at the minutes for that discussion. One of the things I'm glad you brought up the values because you referenced one of the values in your use of updating goal G. So I think we want to kind of do those together because you would not want to develop your goals under a set of values you don't adhere to. So there's some time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And just one other thing, going back to the indicators, I think, you know, a classic indicator is what Nils brought up, which, and you've brought up many times before too, but is the whether or not we're losing forest land to development. Obviously, super key, super important, and that we need to be constantly following.
Yeah, just to follow up on Jim's comment about indicators, I really think that's a great idea, and I think that's something that we need to all come to agreement on, and what set of indicators, small set of indicators, are useful to us strategically going forward. Excuse me, but I think it also is something that could be placed on a ODF dashboard. We talked about a dashboard for economics. I think there should be a dashboard for strategic indicators to see how well we're doing as we.
And it's great. And if knowing the history of that, the sustainable forestry indicators was a public process too. And so, you know, you talk about the wordiness and the breadth of indicators. I think, you know, it's hard, it's a hard decision. What subset of indicators are you going to narrow it down if you really want a manageable amount? And so I think we'll want also a little bit of process discussion as we start going forward. Because part of that is we do want a public process, I think, and we want buy-in around the goals and objectives for the forestry program for Oregon, by Oregonians. And so,
So on that note, I think though it would be really useful both for the board and for the public to go through that and winnow out and identify the ones that we actually have data that is available that we have been able to use to tee up the discussion then of, so what other indicators were identified but which we have not been able to use because no one anywhere is collecting the data. And perhaps we need to prioritize the ones that we think would be most important for filling in critical holes and come up with a strategic approach for how we might, either us or in conjunction with other agencies, start getting the data collected so that we don't have this lovely idea with no data to support it.
You know, another way to put that, I think, is that, you know, as it's been called, we deal with some wicked problems. And wicked problems are essentially the ones where we're never going to have all the data. We're never going to be able to put it in an indicator and get it all presented in a nice package. And staff will be able to tell us that, you know, this is the way it is. So we wouldn't, you know, that's where I feel like we shouldn't be wasting our time on the issues that we just can't even come close to quantifying. It is our job to still struggle and deal and make decisions. It doesn't, you know, but why waste everybody's time?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And when the board considered all the indicator stuff and the path that we're on now, or the current, there was some of that work done, Cindy, so we can definitely bring that board back in this context. So at the risk of moving us on, I'm going to say now there's three interests around the FPFO at places to start. One is goal G, like looking at the climate piece, some work on values, and it sounds like clearly some interest in whether we call it a dashboard or we call it indicators or we call it some way to monitor trends associated with that kind of more strategic plan is something that this board is interested in moving on. Okay. So I'm definitely going to quit hogging the mic in terms of the work plan stuff, but Cindy, you seem to have one.
I have one just comment that I hope doesn't trigger off a whole other discussion, but if it does, great. And that is on the ecosystem services valuation component. Just a nod and a note that I've appreciated the work that's been done so far and am really anxiously looking forward to the next step of triggering from that background, taking the step from that background information to then how do we actually functionally incorporate that into our economic analyses. And I hope, I would love to see something on that before I leave, but if not, knowing that it's coming also is satisfying.
And that is what's proposed here, is to re-engage our partners at OSU to begin as what was basically their recommendation last time as they finished kind of that backgrounder piece that we had, is to do some work with the board around identification of particular services that are of interest to the board that hopefully the board, I think the challenge here is it identifying something that you could use in multiple policy analysis pieces. So again, but at the same time, we need some expertise. I think that we realize that there's not a lot of this work that's been done, particularly not a lot of it's been done in Oregon. It is an exciting opportunity to kind of think about how we would do this work here. And I think we have some good partners at OSU to lean on there. And there may be others that we need to engage as we go through. But to be clear, what's proposed here is not to actually do an ecosystem services valuation, right? Because there's no policy before the board that we're proposing. It's really about building the framework and how would the board use that tool when it came around to the next kind of thing. And part of the discussion we probably need to have is on what policy topics would you employ it? Just 714 analysis, or like at what point would we go there? But we don't need to settle that today. No. Please don't settle that today.
Although, given what we've talked about today, does the board have a sense of how they would prioritize these three topics?
Yeah, it's for me, it's tough to prioritize because they're all at different scales, in my mind. And the economic how do we incorporate ecosystem services valuations into our economic analysis during rulemaking is something that I think is really key and important every time we're making a rulemaking decision. Because, we were forced to not have what I was forced to make a decision, let me rephrase it that way, on the riparian rule without a comprehensive economic analysis. And so I felt like I was shooting in the dark a little bit on trying to make assumptions about the trade-off on ecosystem services between the decisions because they weren't explicitly included in your economic analysis. So it was a piece of information that I would have found useful that was missing. And I think every time I come to a decision-making, that would be true. On the other hand, for me, the overarching figure out where we stand as an agency with respect to climate change is, absolutely my top issue.
I would add, because of this side of the table and the benefit of that, of the document updating this forestry program for Oregon for upcoming board members, which is imminent, right? I think that becomes, I see that as a very high priority in this list of three, I guess.
Continuing on this side of the table, I guess. So I agree with Cindy that it's difficult to prioritize, but I do agree that climate change is the thing that we're hearing from science, from policy, from social work, that is the one thing that we need to be paying closest attention to at this point, because whatever we do now is going to have long-term effects. So I put that one right up top. I agree with Joe that the forestry program for Oregon definitely needs some revision. I'm not saying we rewrite the whole thing. I think some editing, some conciseness, some rethinking of some of the values and indicators, but we're not going to rewrite the whole thing. And I would suggest that process begins after that side of the table leaves, right? So that the new people coming in have a voice in where this is going. Otherwise, I think we're going to come into the same problems that I felt like I came into with the current one. And then the economic evaluation, it sounds like there's work being done, and we need to be kept appraised of that, but we need to be ready to be able to use some of that information when we do have rulemaking that we're faced with. And I would just offer up another name, OSU folks. I know them well. I work with them all the time. Jeff Klein with the Forest Service is another one who has done quite a lot of ecosystem service valuation within the context of forest management trade-offs. And so that's another place you might think about.
Yeah. Thanks for that. The one thing
you didn't ask. Jim, you didn't ask me.
I'm just
Mills.
Well, I thought he was going to speak up. I just was going to comment. I appreciate everything you said and really value it. I think it's giving priorities the way I thought. The one thing that I just wanted, you mentioned waiting on the forestry program for Oregon until there was a board change. I was recalling the October retreat, and there was a little idea there that we would begin to use that as a transition, the revision as a transition tool, so it was ongoing and away for this side of the table if we were going to continue the analogy. I'm going to remind the board.
Fair enough.
Was that discussion?
Yeah, I just think that's great. I overlooked that. But I do think that making sure that the new members have a voice in where we're going in the future is going to be critical.
I was going to say something on that topic. I think, first I'll repeat what's been said. Obviously, climate change is the overarching priority and issue here. But in terms of the forest program for Oregon, I think maybe a little bit more iterative, nuanced process here that, frankly, I think, be it dashboard or be it a little bit of work on some work on indicators. It doesn't have to be a finished product. I don't even think you need much board input, but to go back there and to take some of these quantifiable trend lines and immediately have something so that by the time this is not a completed product, but there is something that's immediately useful to new board members as well as existing board members. But otherwise, so that would be, to me, that would be step one in the process. And then, the process really, then goes through the rest of stages and with new board members involved before we complete it.
And I would say the climate issue, the top priority and I think Peter asked this question, because it is a hard question to ask to force people to this, no matter how you look at where these issues rank. But that is it's increasingly a top issue in our state, and it's one that forestry needs to be connected to. And then I would agree that the refresh, which I think should be a regular practice, I don't know at what period of time, but it's both preceded me and will follow me. And it's not, yet it's something that is sort of the overarching thing that we all operate under, and I think finding ways for the board to connect to that more seriously is a really good idea. And one way is through a periodic refresh.
The only thing for me is with a diverse board periodically reconfirming sort of a common playing field and touch points through that process, I think is really important. So.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to move us. Now, we have till 3:15. So we have plenty of time. We have about 35 minutes to go through four divisions of work for over 2 years. So we've talked a lot about some things that are in Kyle's work plan, and if you can contain yourselves, I would suggest that we start with private forests and talk about non-climate related things in his work plan. And then move to state forest, then to protection, and finish up with the administrative services division. That's okay. So I will turn it over to Kylo Abraham.
Thanks, Chad. So I'll run through quickly a little bit. I guess for the record, Kyle Abraham, private forest division chief. Run through a little bit of our draft work plan and the materials that you guys have in attachment one. So the way we frame this up is existing work. We have what we talked about this morning, Siskiyou Streamside Protection Review. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because we spent a good portion of the morning talking about this, but just to remind you, the next steps for this work include the sufficiency review alignment with DEQ, the expanded literature review for stream temperature and desired future condition, possibly some data collection options, working with the advisory committee, and now contextual information around climate change. We're planning for a sufficiency decision based on the expanded literature review in July of 2020. That's reflected in there. I don't know if you can see all of that, but the large D is considered a final decision item. Small D's are preceding decision items, sort of more business-related activities, and then informational items. The Western Oregon Streamside Protection Review is ongoing. This is the continued phase of RIP Stream, looking at the effectiveness of FPA rules at meeting large wood and desired future condition objectives. And our goals here are to support the board in making a decision on the sufficiency of those rules for small and medium fish streams in Western Oregon. Again, to achieve the goals for large wood recruitment and the stand structure component of desired future condition. You may remember the presentation in September, sort of an overview of where we're at with the data analysis in that program. Next steps include finalizing that data analysis, completing the systematic literature review, and modeling analysis. And I apologize, in your materials and on the board, we've got a plan for what is on here is March of 2021. That should be actually early 2022. So we'll make that change when we bring back the completed work plan. Okay. You're correct. Yep. I think I gave some of my staff a heart attack when they saw that. So. also in the existing work category, and these are two things that were sort of added to our work plan over the past couple years. Forest Practice Act policy review for specified resource site rule analysis, both for marbled murrelets and now for coho salmon. I'll just mention a little bit about our upcoming sort of next steps with the marbled murrelets is to gather input from stakeholders using a facilitator, help identify the preferred resource site determination and protection strategies, and that input will be summarized and provided to the board in planning for an informational update to the board in November of 2020. We also have a similar process that we just began for coho salmon. And again, our objectives are outlined in statute. I'm not going to go through all that right now. We're currently working with our sister agency, ODF&W, on some of their inventory information and thinking through a process on how to define the resource site to help us firmly establish what the inventory would be. And we are tentatively planning for a July information update on our progress on that project. And then thanks to your decision earlier this morning on the consent agenda, we had some draft rule language for wildlife food plots that is moving through, well, we'll now move through the Secretary of State process. We'll seek public comment throughout the spring, with a plan to come to you in July with the final rules and have those rules possibly effective in September of 2020. So that's on a...
Kyle, is there a projected date for decisions on the murrelet and the coho?
We had, I think we had 2 years in the material that we presented to you in November. Part of that is we get further out on this work plan, becomes a little bit fuzzy, so we didn't put in specific dates yet. And then just as you guys are aware that have been on the board for a while, we have a number of regular board updates that we provide to you, and I won't go through all of those, but there is a fair amount of work that goes into that for staff and then also for some of your advisory committees with the Committee for Family Forest Lands and Regional Forest Practice Committees. So that summarizes our existing work. I mean, those are things that are actively underway. Next up are potential topics and some of the feedback that we received through the October retreat and since then relate to the implementation study. And Peter talked a little bit this morning about the plan for the backward-looking review with Dr. Groom on the previous versions of the compliance audit. So I'll actually need to adjust those green boxes forward a little bit. The thing that we'll still need to get some prioritization input from you all is what are the outcomes from that protocol review and development, and there could be some next steps. And right now that's to be determined. We don't have a idea of what those could be or what our approach would be for resolving that. So I just want to flag that a little bit. And then we also have the reforestation module. So at the same time, we're kind of looking at the existing, or the previous work, we still have this phase where we're looking forward with a review from OSU, their statistics for natural resources group, as another element of the implementation study. And so one of the things where we have some uncertainty a little bit is if the results from the backwards-looking review and the forward-looking review come up with different approaches or different strategies, we may want to pause a little bit and align those two things before we move forward. So there is some work that we need to do internally so that we're not doing something that is in disalignment with another process or another information. So there's two elements there. Specified resource site policy review. We've talked about this a little bit in relation to the petitions that we've received. And, you know, every time we receive a petition and we have work to do, that sort of slows our ability to focus on this piece. And it there is some existing work that has been done. We have not presented it to the board yet in terms of identification of what the gaps or the different processes that could be adjusted to address what is in currently what is in statute. And if there is a different way to do business, we've been focused, you know, on the crisis of the day and trying to deal with the two petitions. So, and again, we don't have any preliminary work set for that specifically. We could bring some information about what we've done thus far later in the fall of this year, but as of right now, we've not prioritized this work based on our existing workload. And then I guess I'll actually skip the Forest Practices Act and climate change, given the feedback that we just had, before, so. And then finally, landslide and public safety rulemaking process. So this process began in 2008, and we had some, decisions that were, I'd say, on both for and against sort of rulemaking, and things didn't align. And then we had some budget cuts in 2009 and don't have resources with which to complete this work. So we know it's important. We know it's on the work plan, but have not prioritized that because we don't have any specific resources. This is some very special expertise that we don't have capacity for right now within the division. We are, that's right. So we're looking for input today on how we would prioritize any of those elements, given our existing work, where those sort of fall in, folks' viewpoint. So.
Well, and at the last meeting, the board directed me to do the implementation study review. So we haven't incorporated that into the private forest work plan, but it's in progress. So. And, but it will, there'll be a nexus with the private forest staff and a workload with them on that.
Yeah. And I think part of that was the, when we drafted the materials, we didn't have alignment in terms of what the, just given the timing of when that decision was made to adjust what this looks like for the implementation study. So that is, you're correct. That is moving forward. And like I said, we'll have to adjust those green bars over a little bit for that. Review.
Well, not to add to the list, it's long enough already, but in my year here, I've heard public testimony several times about concerns over aerial spraying and also concerns around clear cutting on certain places. Maybe it relates to the landslide issue, I'm not sure. Have those issues been considered in the past and resolved, or are those outstanding issues that we need to be considering in the future?
I guess I'm not sure what you mean by resolved. I mean, we have
the board decisions.
Yep, Brenda.
They won't be resolved socially, but I guess is there a board decision that has been made recently on those topics?
So that goes back a ways, but we did have a whole agenda topic on pesticides for a period of time, and there is some good documentation on whose authority it is, and we don't really have authority to directly regulate pesticides. That lies with ODA. I'm going to do a hybrid. It's been a long time since I talked about it. What we do is have resource protections above and beyond the licensing and the use and approval to protect resources and, you know, forest resources under the Forest Practice Act. But we went through that quite a bit. The other area that we're still involved in is we did update our fern system to have better notification and access for information. And that's a pretty, it seems like that's been a regular topic at the legislature in terms of advanced notification. So that will likely come up. The only other authority we now have to regulate is the legislature passed a 50-foot aerial ban around occupied or schools and
homes and schools.
Homes and schools. And so now we do have the authority to regulate sort of human health around that. But again, it's one of these things where we're coordinated as natural resource agencies. We have protocol. But so there's been a lot of work on pesticides. I don't think there's a regulatory policy question there, but it'd be good if we.
Yeah. So I might offer just a
if couple. I could maybe sort of add in, interestingly enough, that was sort of the comment that I was going to add back to you as one of the handoffs, because I think that board discussion you're talking about preceded my joining the board. So it's over 8 years ago. And it has been something that during my tenure on the board, we have consistently heard from the public on. And I don't think we have had a board discussion, at least during my tenure, that dealt with sort of where do we or don't we have authority? Where do we or don't we have a potential interest that may cause the board to consider asking for a legislative change of authority? You know, it's an issue that I just sort of as a handoff to those of you that are on that side of the table, I can guarantee you will continue to hear about, and at least in the last 8 years, we have not grappled with in any substantive way on the board.
I was going to say, it may be appropriate for us to, you know, take a little delay on that issue since it's quite possible it's going to be on the November ballot and an initiative that will deal specifically with the herbicide issue, as well as there may be some sort of compromise between the two sides on the battling initiative possibilities. So I think there's maybe the appropriate thing to do is just stay tuned for a while on that particular issue.
So maybe I'll just add a couple things there. So we're continuing to do some work within our electronic notification system. We have had some public interest in carving out a certain way in how operations are notified so people can have that information and not an entire suite of information that they do not wish to have. So that's underway. And then part of the work that we've been doing with the Water Quality Pesticide Management Team, which includes Department of Environmental Quality, Department of Ag, OHA, we've been looking at pesticide detections in water that come off of forest land and recently completed a report in the South Yamhill, which is not too far from here, on some of those results. So we could consider how we could get that information to the board so you can take a look at that.
Thank you, Kyle. I was just trying to be responsive to the testimonies that I've been hearing over the last year.
Thank you.
Kyle, curious how the two implementation studies would influence the sort of the board update on forest practices monitoring report and sort of how you see that happening in this biennium?
Good question. So I think part of it depends on where we're at with those two versions. There are lots of other things that would be coming to the board with that informational update. We would just have to see where we're at with the two different phases, two different elements.
Okay.
But we would still consider if that would be valuable to the board to have in September, or if that's a different form, such as a consent agenda.
All right. And then, I mean, I would just, I don't know whether you've got appetite for any of these things on the potential topics, but I would just say that I think that exploring the specified resource sites policy review struck me when we talked about it as something important to try to get ahead of these issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted, you know, we bring a lot of issues to you guys, and then so it's noticeable to me when you bring issues to us that could involve a lot of work. And so so I also wanted to mention, or maybe you could talk a little bit more about the landslide issues, since that's not one that's come up in my time on the board in any significant way. Do you see significant risk for the department right now and not moving forward with that in whatever would be an appropriate timeline, and what would that be?
I think you could say that. I mean, there is some risk that we've got knowing that it's there and we haven't addressed it in 11 years. So, we could think about that in terms of priority. I don't know if we had that conversation, then what would we
talk a little bit more about what that risk is?
It's the public safety. And so this deals with the intermediate public safety risk on high landslide hazard locations.
Because there was a change related to rapidly moving landslides with houses, and so there was that rule change. So this is beyond that.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah.
And so we have requested those resources every biennium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just check, yeah. So Lena would have done it last year. So and we have not been successful in getting the capacity to do the analysis. I think that's an interesting discussion, and perhaps we can follow up on the risk. And
I was going to say, in the essence of time, maybe we could have sort of an offline conversation about what that looks like.
Yeah. Shaking your head at me. I think we're moving to state forests.
For the record, my name is Liz Dent, and I serve as a State Forest Division Chief. We have two items in progress, and y'all are intimately familiar with this work, so I think this could go pretty quickly as far as walking through how we think it's going to play out this year. In this table I have up on the screen, there's a red asterisk with the yellow fill in that cell, so that's new. I don't think that's in your board book, and I'll get to that in a minute here. Oh, it is. Okay. Well, there you go. So as you know, we've been working simultaneously on a forest management plan to improve conservation and financial outcomes, as well, and considering that work in the context of using a take avoidance approach to comply with the ESA, while we have also been working on a habitat conservation plan, which you all know is a programmatic compliance tool. We also have been talking pretty consistently now for about the past 6 months to a year that we know that were you to direct us to move forward with the HCP, that we need a companion forest management plan. So a lot of planning processes going on. And this year we see all of those kind of intersecting in a couple of really important decisions that you all will be making. So I will start, and so it's kind of awkward to separate these because they relate to each other, but so be it. That's how tables work, I guess. So in terms of the Habitat Conservation Plan, lowercase I in April, and that's just a standard update for you all to let you know the progress that's been made, how it's going with stakeholders. You're used to those updates now. You had one in November, so it'll just be a little bit farther along at that point. Obviously, another information item in July, again, an update. And then in October, we've talked quite a bit about this, that this is an important decision point for you to decide if you want us to continue working on the HCP or not. I'm showing it as a lowercase d because the ultimate decision, the really sort of big time decision, isn't until farther out in 2022 where you would actually decide if that is, you know, the policy that you want us to use to manage these forest lands. And that's because in October, that decision is if you want us to continue moving into the NEPA process. So that is sort of the rhythm for the Habitat Conservation Plan in the year to come. I guess I didn't call out the years. Clearly this year is, you know, the October decision. Once we started into NEPA, you know, there's a long time period. About a year and a half is what we're thinking for us to get through all of that. But clearly keeping you updated along the way. In terms of the Companion Forest Management Plan, and it is related to the FMP work we're doing, but I'll just talk about it real quickly here, is were you to tell us to move forward with an HCP and go into NEPA, then we will be working on that Companion Forest Management Plan. And with an information item here in June of 2021, what we're trying to do here, which, you know, I think Kyle mentioned as you get into the out years, you know, probably be careful about, is this going to be the actual exact month or not? But the intention here is to set the board up such that when the time comes for a final decision on the Habitat Conservation Plan, we've got a Companion Forest Management Plan that will have been, that will have gone through the Secretary of State formal rulemaking process. And so that's why we're going to be trying to get it moving here, and we have a good head start, I'd say, given the FMP work, if that's how we move forward. And then we'd be able to bring to you in November of 2021, NEPA process is still going, but we would have this draft companion FMP for you to look at. If you like what you see, we go into formal rulemaking, which takes about 6 months. So then we'd be coming back to you in June of 2022 with ideally, should you have told us to continue working on an HCP, we would have an HCP that successfully went through the NEPA process with an agreement with the services and the Companion Forest Management Plan that goes with it. And those would align in time and work with each other for the responsible management of state forests. I'll move to the next one here and then take questions. Oops, oh, direct. Gave up my little animation. Okay, so in terms of the draft revised forest management plan that's designed to work with take avoidance, we've been working diligently to get a draft together. Since December, well, actually starting in September, we held a public workshop to talk about measurable outcomes that are in the plan, captured all of that, implemented some edits based on what we heard, incorporated that into the draft revised forest management plan that then hit the streets in December. In December, we held a public meeting. We held a meeting with State Forest Advisory Committee. We went over the plan with the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. And upon invitation from Clatsop County Commissioner, we actually did a special meeting in Astoria as well. All of these were really to introduce the folks to the plan, and recognizing they needed more time to look at it. We're holding a meeting in, I was going to say in January, but it is January, January 14th, which I guess sounds like next week. As a follow-up, people will have had a chance to read it, and we can hopefully, they'll have more questions that we can work on. So I say all that because what we'll be doing in April is bringing you that draft with any edits that we have incorporated from that public input. And if there are comments that we got that we weren't able to incorporate, we'll be able to explain why. So that's a full day session. I think you all have your meetings on your calendar. So that ends up being a two-day meeting for you all in April, with the second day being just focused on the forest management plan. We'll walk through it with you, walk through the comment, public comment. And the notion there is characterized as a lowercase I information item. The vision that we've got there, as per the conversation you all had in November, is at that point we would put the forest management plan on the side burner while we wait for the HCP work to kind of catch up, if you will. Which then takes us out to this place where stuff really starts coming together. So in October of this year, should you decide that, yes, you want us to pursue the habitat conservation plan, then our work on the draft forest management plan is sort of takes a diversion, and we at that point are really focusing on a companion forest management plan. And there'll be some work from the draft that we think we'll be able to incorporate. So that work is not lost, so to speak. And there'll be elements of the current forest management plan that'll likely carry over as well. We just haven't mapped that out. If, on the other hand, you were to decide that you're done, you don't want us to continue working on the HCP, then we've got this draft forest management plan that we will have gone through a fair amount of public comment on. And we'll be, I think, better situated than we were before when we had to restart. We'll be better situated to pick that up again. We'll have to revisit with the board, have that conversation around how do you want this process to go, get all aligned on that, and pick that up and work in the understanding that we would be using the take avoidance process to comply with the ESA. And then it just points out in time. I don't really know what the check-in dates and stuff would be if we were to pick up the forest management plan again. So that's our story. It's only two items, but it's quite a bit of work. I think you all know that. The conversations around collaboration with other agencies were great for us to hear from the division. We are working very closely with our state and federal sister agencies on all of this, as well as some of the Murelet stuff that's been coming together for ODFW. There were a couple things that came out of the October retreat that I'll hit on really quickly. One of them was asking that we revive, if you will, our recreation education interpretation POP and get a fully formed POP for the full session. You heard from James the timing of that. We're not there today, but message received, and we're prepared to do that. And the other thing was that we coordinate with external stakeholders on a forest transfer bill. You heard from testimony today what's happening there. We are not carrying that bill, but we have been collaborating with the folks to make sure they kind of understand our perspectives and we know where they're coming from. Those were the main things, I think, that came out of October. So I will stop talking and take any questions.
I'd like to... This isn't a question, it's really a comment, but I, and I say this after, both testimony we heard this morning and also, advice we heard from our lawyers with respect to moving forward on both the, HCP and the state forest plan. But I want to make it clear that I think that you should be continuing on the path that you are on. I'm hoping others, if Cindy has talked about stuff she hopes gets done while she's still here, this is one I hope gets done also, realizing some of the decisions are much further out. But I think it's important that you move forward on this path, utilizing the current GPV configuration as a basis for your work. And again, I say that being mindful of the litigation and also of the advice that we have received from counsel. If if others have a different perspective, I'd invite that as well.
I can agree with that completely. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. I do too.
I concur as well, and I think you've done a very good job of laying out the relationship of the work pending our potential future decision. But I think I think it's a good approach and support it entirely.
And I hope it's also clear that you continue the work that you're doing with partners and stakeholders in this process, because I think that's vital to it. But we need you to keep moving forward.
Thank you. It's good to have the clarity that this policy work is being conducted in accordance with our current mandate. So thank you for that.
So yeah, I also appreciate what you've laid out and support it. And just one question. Does the work plan or the schedule depend on any new grants coming in, or is this with the existing funding that you have?
There are pending grants coming in, but regardless, we are prepared to move forward with current funding, whether they come in or not.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Liz. We're going to move to fire protection. Ron?
Good afternoon, Chair Emison, members of the board, State Forester Daugherty. What I'm going to begin today for you all with the Fire Protection Division work plan is what's not on the work plan. What's not on the work plan any longer is the smoke management review and the rules update. Some of you got involved with that towards the end and some from the very beginning. And as you started your conversation today and talked about collaborative processes, I think that was a great example of Oregon Health Authority, Department of Environmental Quality, Oregon Department of Forestry, and many stakeholders taking a lot of time, but necessary time for a really good outcome. So thank you for that. So as I said, that is a big project that is removed off of our work plan. And what you're really left with is our ongoing annual topics, the first of which are statutorily required. And that is when we come to the board in June with the district budgets from all the forest protection associations and subsequently the per rate acre assessments for your approval. June is really the big month for the fire division. So it's our preseason fire look to show that we are ready for the upcoming fire season. So additionally, with that decision item for you all, we review letters from the Forest Protective Association to the State Forester. That is, in a sense, some of their after-action review, if you would, and recommendations to the department going forward. And also, I think normally included, depending on timing, is the response letters from the State Forester back to those associations. And then lastly, in June is the fire season report category, which that's really the pre-fire season look on readiness, the budget's being approved, where we stand as far as readiness, and training and hiring of seasonal firefighters for the upcoming fire season. The remainder of our items that you see, those all come up as needed and include appointments for the Emergency Fire Cost Committee and reappointing members when necessary as well. And you confirmed an appointment today in your consent agenda item. Another one is approving Forest Protection Association agreements. Currently, all of those are up to date, but we do from time to time, depending on changes, update those Forest Protection Association agreements and bring those to you guys. And then lastly, the Rangeland Protection Association, new formations or changes to their boundaries is another item that, as needed periodically, we would bring in front of the board. So maybe even perhaps a little bit more simpler than State Forest, and this is the simple side of the table, I guess. We've kind of cleared the slate for what we anticipate and want to be responsive to is what comes out of the Governor's Council on Wildfire Response and the short session in February and then the long session the following year. And so that's how we're organized to be responsive to that. We didn't put any anticipated dates, as you see, what month we might have to deal with that, but it could be fairly substantial. I will say the ongoing work plan keeps us fairly busy. It's very routine, but occasionally, even in a fire season, like back in, I think it was 2017 when we took over the board meeting and it was purely just a fire update. And that happens on a very rare occasion, thankfully. So, with that, that is what we are anticipating for the next couple of years with our interaction with the board.
Tom, yeah. Just one quick observation. I think this year, and I know in past years, we've also heard a fire season update at our November board meeting, and that might be something you actually want to put in as a standard default. In light of climate change, we seem to have an extended fire season, and we may need to hear from you pretty consistently past September on fire season updates.
Correct. That has happened on occasion already, and I actually had made that note that depending on the fire season, we might be back in November as well. Hopefully not January, still talking about the fire season.
Any other questions for Ron? Okay. Sabrina for Administrative Services Division.
All right. Welcome. I'm Sabrina Perez, Senior Strategy Manager for the Administrative Branch. I'm filling in for Bill Herbert today. In the recognition of time and where we're at on this topic, I will probably condense my presentation to the pretty much the listening to your feedback and where we've responded and incorporated changes to these processes. As most of our administrative processes consist of a 2-year biennial cycle and annual reporting mechanisms that help with our engagement in both the legislature and executive branches of government. So skipping over the legislative concepts and budget development, as those are regular intervals, a piece where we have adjusted to incorporate your feedback from the October planning retreat is in your board governance best practices self-evaluation. As you'll see in your work plan on pages 9 through 12, we've attached an appendix that is an evaluation form to basically request your feedback. Potentially, we're proposing to request this feedback through the month of January and then take this feedback back into a comprehensive summary that we would present to you in March on your consent agenda at this time. And if there is no further discussion needed related to any proposed changes that you all have in your evaluation criteria, we would then initiate that through approval of the criteria at your April meeting. And so that's been a slight adjustment. And really this criteria has not been reviewed since 2007, other than the regular ongoing feedback that you've been providing through your October retreat. So this is an opportunity for you to shape this to be your own before you engage in the annual survey period. So that would be a change that we would be proposing, and to get into that before the survey cycle, we would be looking to send that to you via email and receive individualized feedback through January. And I recognize that this is prior to board work plan approval decisions occurring in March, but we do want to be responsive and incorporate your feedback where possible.
Any questions on that? Understanding that we're actually trying to do some work before it's formally approved by the board to be responsive to the board. Would this be useful to send a follow-up email to you with this form? So if you had changes in instructions, then we could get the feedback by. Would that be useful?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
And I gather you're flexible about what kind of responses. It doesn't need to be. Here's language. It would be commentary that this could be strengthened. Yeah.
Absolutely. We want to adapt to your needs. And yes. Next slide, please. Okay, on the next steps, we have incorporated a review of our financial dashboard and the projected design of that, and you also see a slight shift reflected. We originally anticipated to bring that to you in March as well as our human resources dashboard. And we are actively adjusting to current March planning needs related to your agenda and are requesting a little bit of flexibility in the timing. We could be looking more like at an April presentation for that. And then as well, we wanted to respond to your requests for two new reports. One would be focused on our capital, our facilities capital management plan, as well as a report of our public information requests. And we are prepared to bring that to you. Our staff is really excited, actually, to come and bring this information to you before the board. So, is there any feedback or any requests?
I have a question, I think, probably for Peter. And I'm, given the ongoing reporting you're doing to Ways and Means and the importance of, collecting, I think your last report said there's still 103 million in outstanding receivables, although you've invoiced for over half or about half of that, right? Should that be part of this work plan to complete that process or?
That's a really good question that, certainly in my performance evaluation, reporting to you regularly on the financial conditions are clear expectations, and I've been working with administrative services to be able to provide that. I think it's related to the financial dashboard. So I think when we bring it to the financial dashboard, you might be having questions about, is this the information that we need? I think other board members have said, well, how do we know we have the right information to evaluate whether we're prompt or keeping up? And one of the specific products of the MGO work will be recommendations to DAS about the information that we provide on a regular basis to the Board of Forestry to keep you
right.
So I'm not sure I'm getting at what you say, but
it strikes me that beyond reporting to us, there's significant work being done to improve systems and put in place some additional capacity to address the aged AR, right, and the challenges that multiple large fire seasons created. And it seems like it's significant work. It's also something that's attracted a lot of scrutiny. And to be able to show that, you know, we're addressing it with our work plan, we've deployed resources and time to address that, seemed to make sense to me. But.
No, I appreciate that now that I understand what you're asking. And I think maybe a report both from fire protection and administrative division on just an informational update on the steps that they've taken. And then perhaps a update on what we're hearing from MGO is what I think you're suggesting. And then do it at a public board meeting so that we get it on the record that the board, so.
And not just that the board, right? That you and the department.
Are doing,
That there's progress.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I was missing that. I was thinking, what's the policy question? That's the way I always, but no, thank you. Do you have any concerns, Ron? You think?
No, I love it. It is actually part of what I was prepared to elaborate on related to the financial dashboard. So.
Okay. So, only a few minutes over on that item. And, so I'll just sum it up by saying, we've run half the marathon on work plans in terms of getting them approved. The next half of the marathon is in March. And, so keep up your training. And we'll be back at getting final approval for these work plans in March. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We have, do you want to take a quick break before our last item? Okay, so we'll break until 3:30.